Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
No distortion. This podcast is brought to you distortion free.
I hope.
Yeah, maybe.
There's no telling. I thought that's what happened a couple weeks ago.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
It's like riding a bicycle, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep.
Sam Farmer's with us today. Yes. Welcome in.
It's a farmer episode.
Oh, so happy to be here back with you guys.
Josh Fligger is here. My name is Andy Chanley, and Larry Morgan is on assignment. First things first, let's just get right to it. The elephant in the room. That's not a.
Yeah. Hey, it's been a long season. Eating is tough on the road. You know, come on, man. I hear enough of that at home.
So how was the Super Bowl? You just came,
it was great.
This is airing a couple weeks later, but you just came back from the Super Bowl. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it was a great Super Bowl for me. Personally, because I was able to set up a lot of the stories heading into Miami. So I was able to back pocket a lot of stories as I went in. And so for me, that's always my goal is how do I do the Super Bowl differently than the mm-hmm. 5,000 other reporters that are there? So if right. I can collect all those stories in that dead week between the championship games and the Sunday where I head to Miami for the Super Bowl or head to whatever city for the Super Bowl, and then spend a week there. That's great. So I got a bunch of stories. So let me just rewind the tape a little bit. I was at the AFC Championship game and watched the Chiefs come back and beat the Tennessee Titans there. And
which,
so,
by the way, Tennessee Titans, who saw this season coming?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. And with the quarterback and just everything that's gone on there, it's pretty remarkable. But, okay, so that game ends. Now I've got the Chiefs and 49ers in the Super Bowl. What stories am I going to do? I'm going to focus primarily on the Chiefs because we had another writer who was at the championship game and might do some 49ers stories.
Right.
But so I get up that Monday morning. Sunday night after the game, I call Lee Steinberg, who is the agent who represents Patrick Mahomes. And I know I'm going to have to do some Mahomes stuff. So I said, Lee, I'm going to fly down to Texas tomorrow morning and drive to his hometown in East Texas, which is White House, Texas, about 3-hour drive east of Dallas. And I'm going to see what I can find in White House, Texas. You know, and I'm going to do a story from the town perspective on it.
I was going to say, like, what do you do just in a situation? You just roll into town and you just start going to diners or you start calling the high school quarter coaches and stuff?
Yeah, my objective is to get moving out there, and I'll figure out the story on my way out there, you know, and figure out sort of my
angle,
strategy for finding the story. Often it's going to the first person I go to is the local reporter who covers that team. And then that reporter will have kept up with high school players and coaches, et cetera. And
so you steal all their ideas.
Exactly. No question. I mine all that stuff, and I come in and Bigfoot them and tell them it's the LA Times.
Hey, do you have any old articles I can look at?
You know, I've been reading your stuff. I really like your stuff, and there might be a job waiting for you at the LA Times. Just open all your notebooks.
Let me just look at the Rolodex for a minute. You know,
I won't touch it. I'm just going to take some pictures real quick.
How many times have I heard that?
Yeah. So as I'm driving out there, I am driving from Dallas to Tyler, Texas, and I get I've been messaging back and forth with Jennifer Montana because I'm trying to set up. Okay, I want to talk to Joe Montana,
sure.
And I want to be the first person who gets to him because he played for the Chiefs, he played for the 49ers,
sure.
Won 4 Super Bowls with the 49ers, got to the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs, and is sort of a hero there. I want his perspective on this Super Bowl. And so Jennifer messages, Joe and I are walking our granddaughter right now in the city, but Joe will call in a half hour. And so my phone rings, private caller, 20 minutes later, and I'm driving, and I said, Joe, And he said, no, it's not Joe. And it was the other agent to Patrick Mahomes. He was unaware that I was heading out there. He wanted to know what was going on. It was, wasn't sure that certain people would be available. Mm-hmm. So then I'm thinking, oh God, okay, this is hard now. I'm driving out and I don't know what I'm going to get in White House, Texas. But 10 minutes later, Joe Montana calls, and he was great. I pulled over in a rest stop. He gave me all this stuff. We talked for probably a half hour, and I had a good story. But I had it, and I'm thinking, is he now going to turn around and call all the people who had called him from the Bay Area? So I better get my story up. So I pulled into I drove a little bit longer, pulled into a McDonald's, transcribed, spent the next 3 hours at the McDonald's writing my Joe Montana story and getting it up on the web. Mm. Just so we can have our stamp on this
right
thing.
Did you get breakfast for lunch?
Yeah, I probably ate two meals. In fact, I was there so long. I probably ate two meals. And then I drove in. So now I'm kind of tired, and it's Monday evening. I finally get to Tyler, Texas, not knowing what I'm going to find the next morning. So the next morning I get up, contact the sports. And before I left Kansas City, okay, it's early morning. I'm talking to Paige, my wife, in the airport. And I said, listen, I just called this minister that I knew in Prairie View, Kansas, who I had gone to their church before because they had a prayer vigil for Patrick Mahomes' knee. Hmm. When Patrick Mahomes injured his knee, they had a prayer vigil. I'm like, this guy's a good resource. He's going to have some good stories. So he said, yes, in fact, he had officiated a funeral.
For his knee?
No.
For his ACL?
and officiated a funeral the day before that started exactly when the AFC Championship game kicked off. Now, this guy is 15 miles from Arrowhead Stadium. And he said everyone at the funeral was very clandestinely looking down at their phones. And he said there was a lot of weeping early on in the funeral when the Chiefs were down by 10. He said that as they started to turn it around and come back, the mood lightened in the funeral. And he said by the time the Chiefs had completely overcome the deficit and now were cruising to victory.
We're high five.
Yeah. He said there was a reception at the funeral and people were walking on air. So I said, okay, this is great. Okay. So I said, all right, Paige, you need to find me. I'm going to be on a plane. Your assignment is please find me an event that's happening in Kansas City at the same time as the Super Bowl. Who, what kind of idiot would plan?
Oh, God. An event?
She found a folk music concert. And she said, and at this place called the Oliver Building, which is a historic building in downtown Kansas City, I found that there's a private wedding taking place. She said, all I have is the number for the Oliver Building, the phone number for the manager of the Oliver Building. So what I'm saying is this big windup of saying you have a lot of balls in the air. You know, you're trying mm-hmm. to keep. So I call the owner of the number of the Oliver Building, leave my name, say, hey, can you get me in touch with whoever's doing this private wedding taking place on Super Bowl Sunday? And thank God for Paige. I mean, she was awesome. So I'm at the McDonald's right.
Did she get paid for this?
Yeah. Your credit.
Yeah. I'm writing the Joe Montana story, and the owner of the Oliver Building calls and says, they're the world's biggest Chiefs fans who are getting married.
No.
Yeah, they mistakenly made this date.
Oh, not knowing. No.
Yeah. So,
but
they would love to talk to you. And that's I said, great. This is fabulous. So once I got to, now I've filed my Joe Montana story. I'm in Tyler, Texas, which is right next to White House. And this Nikki Bailey, who's the bride, calls me and this with her husband-to-be, Rob Wachowiak, and they tell me that they had, a year ago, they were trying to plan their wedding, and they had dated for 3 or 4 years. This was a second marriage for both of them. And they had originally picked as a date 5/10/20. So May 10th, which is my birthday, 2020. But that turned out to be Mother's Day. So they said, we can't do it on Mother's Day. So they said, why don't we do it on 02-02-2020 at Palindrome? So February 2nd. So they make the... And then about a month in, they realized,
you know, the husband's gone, that's genius, because I'll never forget that date. Yes, let's make it exactly. Something that it's physically impossible to forget.
I thought they were trying to save $250 by doing it on a Sunday instead of Saturday.
Right. Probably that, too. and they realized, about a few weeks in, they realized, uh-oh, that's Super Bowl Sunday. Well, the Chiefs aren't going to be in it.
Yeah.
Right.
So then... As it gets closer and closer, and then it becomes, and then to them it's kind of written in the stars. So this
now, do you think they cheered at the AFC Championship game, where they were kind of like half like?
Oh no,
like kind of don't want.
These guys are around the bend. I mean, they are such Chiefs fans, and knowing how tough it is to get Super Bowl tickets, they decided to turn this wedding into the biggest
Super Bowl party
that they.
That's genius.
Yeah, and I was talking to one of the...
And thank God they won.
That would have been just a bummer.
The downer, you know?
I was telling one of the NFL VPs about this Super Bowl party. He said, oh, really? Yeah, he goes, maybe we better send them a cease and desist letter. I said, do not do that. Do not do that. You can't do that.
They have to refer it to the big game at the end of the year.
Exactly. You can't show it to more than three people.
I got married on a Steelers bye week.
Oh, did you really?
Exactly.
Jesus.
I would imagine there was a line at the church, too. You weren't the lone ranger.
I got married in June. Thank God I don't give a fuck about baseball.
But the funniest thing, I was talking to the couple that night. They said, you know, for our first dance, it's going to be at halftime. We're going to be at a halftime show. And she said, we're going to wear our jerseys, okay? We're going to change into our jerseys. And I said, well, you have to wear white, so you have to wear an away jersey. She said, yeah, yeah. She said, the big problem is we're both Patrick Mahomes. So now we have Patrick Mahomes dancing with Patrick Mahomes at his leg. So he made the...
It's Patrick Mahomosexual.
To J-Lo. Dancing to J-Lo.
Oh, so it was... So they changed... I'm not even gonna, like, no, that can't... Don't ring that bell. Okay.
I went for it, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna.
Do not ring that bell. And then... So Jason Kelce, so the husband changed to Jason Kelce. So it was Kelce dancing with Patrick Mahomes, and
which is better?
And it, yeah, so yes, I'm not even going to wade into this water.
Well, if you make the song Dancing with Myself, whatever.
Right, hey, oh, that'd be great.
Come on.
So anyway, that got the weekend rolling. I can tell you more about that, or we can go in other directions, but.
That's amazing. How much irony was in the NFL executive's voice when he said, maybe I should send him a
cease? It was pretty tongue-in-cheek, but it gave me a little chill. I thought, please don't do that.
You just ruined their wedding.
The other story that I... So I went to Patrick Mahomes High School, and his coach was fabulous. This guy, Adam Cook, he was terrific. He sort of rescued me because he took me all around and introduced me to all these people, opened up his Rolodex, that kind of thing. And he said, offhandedly said, I really want to go to the game. He had a thick Texas accent. He said, I'm not going to ask Patrick. I know he's besieged, blah, blah, blah. He said, but I just have to get to that game. And I said, well, listen, I can't do anything for you tickets wise, but I said, look, I got an Airbnb in Miami, you can crash on my couch if you get a ticket. But I'm thinking, there's no way he's gonna get a
right
ticket. So the next day I called in pursuit of this Mahomes story, I called Cliff Kingsbury, who's the coach of the Arizona Cardinals,
right,
but was Patrick Mahomes' college coach at Texas Tech. And I opened by saying, oh yeah, you know, I talked to Adam Cook yesterday, and of course Cliff had recruited Patrick from Adam's high school, so he knew Adam. And I said, you know, he's trying to get to the game, and you know, he can't get to the game. I told him he can crash on my couch if he gets to the game. But Cliff hung up the phone and said to Mark Dalton at the Cardinals, we're getting him a ticket. So
that's
Cliff
awesome.
bought him a ticket. Not just a ticket, a club seat.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. Which on the secondary market, we're going for $49,000.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, oh, that makes sense. 49ers.
Yeah, yeah. And,
God, $50,000.
You imagine? And
he was so good about it. So the next night, I get a call from the coach who's just in tears and said, Cliff Kingsbury just bought me a ticket to the can I still sleep on your couch? I said, yeah, of course.
Like, no.
He said, well, it'd be okay if my wife comes too. And I said, oh, sure, you know, whatever. It's a pull-out couch. They didn't ultimately sleep on my couch. They got an Airbnb next to mine. But I spent the weekend with this guy, you know, got him on Radio Row. We did some radio things together, football things. And he got to meet Joe Montana. He met Terrell Davis. Wow. He met Kurt Warner. He met Steve Mariucci. He met Marshall Faulk and got to have conversations with him. He was just...
That's crazy.
It was a fantasy dream world for this guy. And he had the best time. And he's the nicest guy. And then after Patrick Mahomes won MVP, I talked to the league and got Adam and his wife credentialed because they're the high school coach to come to the MVP press conference on Monday morning. So they
nice.
See Patrick. And,
oh,
and
that's
so
awesome.
It was really a fun.
Now, how many Super Bowls have you been to so far?
Including one snuck into.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how many have you crashed?
I did a count at 23. Wow. That might be on the low end, but
do you still get excited like when you see the opening kickoff? And you're
yeah,
like, I'm
I
here
do.
Watching.
Absolutely,
this.
I get really excited.
You get a little bit of fandom in you of the sport,
absolutely.
Being like, this is insane.
The finality of it, yeah. the historic nature of it, the fact that we're going to be watching this for years to come and yep. thinking about this game,
and that a billion people are watching,
exactly. and the billion people are watching, and so that I do get excited about that, and I love seeing my friends who are it's like a big convention of friends who are writers who you don't. I mean, I love coming to see you guys, and this is especially as a guy, you don't do as good a job at maintaining friendships because you're so lost in your mm-hmm. world, especially when you have kids, and it's sort of wife driven. Mm-hmm. Friends, like right. your wife will dictate your schedule. So for me to be out, it's a social thing for me too, to be able to reconnect with all these people who I've known for 25 years as a NFL writer. But just to tell you a little bit more about how my week went, on Wednesday, I flew up to St. Louis from Texas. So I turned around very quickly. Now, I stayed in, I got to DFW and the airport there, and I thought I'll just stay in an airport hotel. It was $500 a night in an airport hotel. I said, are you kidding me?
In St. Louis? Said,
no, in Dallas.
Oh, in Dallas.
In Dallas, I would be expecting like $225 or something.
Yeah.
It was $500. And I asked somebody in the rental car facility, because I just turned in my rental car at the rental car center, expecting to take an airport shuttle over to the hotel, and I called, and it was $500. I said, what's going on? And she said, well, it's weather out of Dallas, and when there's weather,
they jack up the prices.
And it was so terrible. So
smart.
I decided to do yeah. something that I long considered doing, but never really had a scenario where I could do it. I stayed in one of those suites, I forget what they call them, minute suites. In the airport, I was in the airport. It was like that Tom Hanks movie where he lives in the airport. it's a suite, a small bedroom with just like a futon that doesn't even fold out. And it's like 5.5 feet long, but it's got end tables on each side. So I'm 6'2", so my legs were hanging over. And they give you fleece blankets that look clean enough, and, a pillowcase, and a clean pillowcase, and you're in this tiny little, large, like a walk-in closet kind of thing, and you're sleeping in it.
It sounds very like Japanese. Do you ever see those things they have in like Japan, where it just like those, almost look like
the capsule hotels?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You just slide in.
Yeah,
looks like like a morgue.
But I'm in this place, and I've rented the shower for. a half hour from 7 to 7:30 a.m. But I'm inside security.
You rented the shower?
Yeah, I rented a shower. You have to reserve the shower. But I'm inside security, so it's like I don't have to go through
right
once I get in.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of bizarre, and I'm in the airport, and like I get up in the middle of the night, I have to pee, but the bathroom. The bathroom, you have to rent the shower. So I've got to go out into the terminal. So I'm shuffling out of the terminal my slippers. Socks and boxers to go into the big bathroom. I'm like,
brushing your teeth.
It was bizarre. It was so bizarre. And you see nothing.
He's in his bathrobe.
You could look a mile down the terminal. All you see is some guy polishing the floor like... It was just a speck at the end of the terminal. So it's really strange. But I woke up in the terminal Saturday. So Wednesday I get up and I'm flying up to St. Louis to meet with Joe Buck and spend the day with Joe Buck. Now Joe is – now I'm dominating this.
I love
okay,
it.
Okay, so yeah. Joe Buck is the Fox play-by-play man.
Right. Sure.
And his dad, Jack Buck, who's a legendary announcer – had done dozens of Super Bowls over the course of his career, only did one on TV, and that was Super Bowl IV, which was 50 years earlier, wow. with the Chiefs, the only game...
Wow.
The only game that Super Bowl Chiefs won and the last Super Bowl they were in.
50 years.
So 50 years, and Joe is 50 years old. So
wow.
It was just the stars had aligned yeah. here. And so I... reached out to NFL Films and I said, can you get me a copy of Super Bowl IV and the television version?
And so they said, yes, sir, Mr. Farmer.
Yes.
Mr. Hall of Fame, Mr. Farmer.
So they got me a copy of that. So I brought a copy up to Joe Buck and we sat at his house and watched that. And I've got some videos here. We can post them.
Awesome.
So Joe, in fact, we could even play one of these things because it was really funny him talking about getting ready for the game.
Yeah.
So we spent the day and then went out to dinner at night and it was awesome and just had a great time. So then I flew home from St. Louis and now I've got the Montana story, which I already posted. I've got the wedding story. I've got the going to Mahomes' hometown and I've got the Joe Buck story. So now I've got four really good stories. But I also wanted to do this story on Derek Thomas, the former Chiefs
linebacker,
Hall of Fame linebacker who was killed in a car accident 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, geez, wow.
Was the anniversary. But got in the accident in Kansas City. Died in Miami because he's from Miami, came home, was paralyzed, died 16 days later. His mom's still in Miami. So the mesh up, the yeah. connections of all that stuff. And his mom crazy. Was just fabulous. We went out to lunch, and his mom, Edith, and she was terrific. But so this Joe Buck, I just got to show you a little bit of this Joe Buck thing. Here he is talking about the that one right there. Is he's talking about the... we'll see if we had the
let me see if
how
we
get... he prepares what he writes in his
it's literally
what he writes on his card.
Pick up the cord three times and drop it.
What he writes on the card for Super Bowls when his flip card that he does.
Okay,
the,
let me see if I can get the audio here.
There's no way this works.
It should be muted there.
Right? Oh, there we go.
Super Bowl 45, Pittsburgh, Green Bay. Green Bay went 3-0 that postseason. They were the number 6 seed. And it's all their information, same kind of thing. But there's little notes on here like to remind myself to keep it fun and light. Fun, light. I've had more graphic reminders to myself. Light. Fun. Not really too crazy creative that year, but I did have little reminders that you're doing a football game and don't like make it so serious that you're squeezing all the life and enjoyment out of it too. So that's like a trigger that if my eye hits it, it's like, all right, let's start a segment or let's go somewhere with the broadcast that you know, it needs to go because it's just getting too heavy.
Is that particular to the Super Bowl?
Just the Super Bowl. Okay. I don't ever have that to myself on anything other than the Super Bowl. But I've had notes like, it's just an effing game, or have fun, a-hole. Just different stuff that I think I've gotten more bitter as the years have gone on. So a little more graphic.
And these some of those notes for the show.
Here's another one.
What are we looking at here?
We're looking at categorized chaos. This is the NFC champ game. Green Bay offense going out. San Francisco defense coming in, and then the reverse. Green Bay defense coming in, San Francisco offense going out. And just, I put this together during the course of the week. These are kind of the bare bone statistical notes that I want to make sure I get in the game. But it's number, name, height, weight, college, years in the NFL, how they were acquired. And then you build on top of that more and more relevant statistics. You don't let the stats drive your broadcast, but if you need to know that it's there, I know that Mitch Wishnowsky is the punter, a rookie, because his name's in yellow, and he was the 110th pick of this past draft, which is the highest selection of a punter since Brian Anger, 70th overall to Jacksonville in 2012. So that's an example of what's on here.
Wow, research right there. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's good. He's funny, and
he's kind of become the new Bob Costas, hasn't he? You know, it can do everything from, you know, basketball. The gymnastics at the Olympics, yes, to exactly. To, you know, basketball, to baseball, to whatever.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good analogy. And so. Coming into the Super Bowl then with a bunch of stories back pocketed, I really feel like then you're not driven. Your week isn't driven by
I got to get this.
It's
I got to get
Tuesday.
That.
I've got to do a linebacker feature on so-and-so. And
you can just drink.
Yeah, exactly. He's got beer helmet on. He's standing out there.
You can do vodka slammers with Steve Mariucci, and it's all good.
I think I saw him actually with a hot dog gun sitting out there shooting rifle hot dogs into the crowd around the third quarter. Yeah. Big sombrero on.
Exactly.
So you had fun?
So I had fun. It was nice.
And then the game itself.
And then the game was fabulous.
I just wanted to point out that out of the four people on the show, two of them correctly predicted the Super Bowl winners, and they would be me and Sam Farmer.
How many of us predicted the Chiefs would score 31 points?
I did not do a – did you? Did you score?
31-27 was my final in the LA Times, which it was 31-20, but if the 49ers had come back and scored, it would be perfect.
Nice. So,
wow. Impressive.
Yeah. That was a good pick. So, so it was really good. Now on to golf, and then I'll
yeah, I was gonna say, what's that? Do you have like a time off at all?
Crazy off season. Yeah, I'll do the four golf majors, Wimbledon, and then I'm gonna fly from London to Tokyo for the Olympics.
That's my next question. You doing any Olympic stuff?
Yeah, I'm gonna do the Olympics.
Wow.
So that's gonna be.
Do you need anybody to travel with you and call pastors in St. Louis?
Yes. I mean, that's really nice to offer up Lara like that. I'm gonna circle back with you.
Hey, by the way, your name did come up in our house last on Super Bowl week. Was it
impassioned in the dark?
I was sitting there in the car. We're driving on Hall of Fame announcement day,
right?
And I was looking at my phone. I look at my wife and I go, "Hey, Troy Polamalu made it into the Hall of Fame first ballot." She goes, "Yeah, they'll let anybody in that place. They let Sam Farmer in." I swear to God, she said. I started laughing. She started laughing. She's like, "It's no big deal."
That's great.
Oh, heavens,
Andy.
Yes.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? I can see you. You're like eyes twitching. You got sweat pits. Your armpits are sweaty. He's got a little band. He's like. What is there anything new going on in the Chandley household?
Is there sawdust in my hair? Because I've been working all morning. I don't know if anybody we've had shed talk. What other kind of talk have we had? We've had
I don't know.
Well, carport.
We talk about workbenches. I build a workbench.
Workbenches. Is there carport talk? Actually, so the carport has been rebuilt.
Yes.
It's in the process of being rebuilt.
It's a pergola.
It's a pergola, I believe, has the holes, right? Oh, where the sun can come through. This is a little fancier
than a carport.
What I've called it, instead of a carport, I told the contractor, no, it's a automotive pavilion.
Oh, nice.
It's our pavilion.
Yes.
But it's being constructed as we speak, not today. But I think people heard at the beginning of a couple of podcasts ago the hammering that was going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're rebuilding this thing because the other one was rotten and fell down.
So how long has it been since they started? How long has it? They've been at it so far?
They started on Wednesday.
Are they doing it every day?
Or? They were here Wednesday, Thursday, and for a few hours yesterday.
Okay.
Or Friday.
But yeah, they got pretty far well along.
Yeah. There's like probably 15,000 pounds of wood out there.
Yeah.
Up high.
That's they used to call me back in high school.
And even more down below. But yeah, so,
hello,
so
ladies.
That's going on right now. That's not, there's supposed to be 50-mile-an-hour winds today, and it's not exactly lashed down, so I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that.
It looks pretty sturdy. You're good. So.
Anywho, that wasn't what I was working on this morning. I actually may have sawdust in my hair, my eyebrows and stuff.
What were you doing?
I was working on a little craft project. Silas, 9-year-old Silas, is it has a role in the class play this coming Friday. He plays Young Moses.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which I think is a great rap name.
Taken.
T.I. Flo Rida and introducing Young Moses. Young Moses. Anyway, it's not a religious school that he goes to, but the school, it's a Waldorf school. They teach you literacy in, you know, most of the world's belief systems so that you can just understand. And there are terrific stories, whether you believe the Bible or not, that you're an adherent to it, you observe it, you can't deny. You know, I'm an atheist now, but I can look at the Bible and say those are terrific stories.
Does he have a costume?
I believe a costume is being made for him.
Does he look like Gandalf?
I haven't seen that part yet.
Quick workaround. You could get him Moses for the play and then save that costume for Halloween. True. He could be Gandalf.
Get double duty out of it.
You have Young Moses and then you have Post Malone.
Yes. Yes. That's beautiful. as a parent at the school, I was asked if I would help contribute to, if anybody could help contribute to the, you know, building the set and building the
Are you building
pieces.
An ark?
It's worse than that.
Are you really building the ark?
No, it's worse than that. That's Noah, by the way.
Oh, whatever. Same thing.
Fucking heathen.
You're right. Oh, so you build the tablets?
No. The tablets are made. By the way, somebody brought up this week, History of the World, Part 1. Remember that Mel Brooks
movie? Have three of them?
I bring you these 15!
Oh, that's...
10! 10 commandments! I just love that. That would really explain the last 2,000 years.
Exactly.
Yes. We didn't have a full user's manual for it. Anyhow, I went and I was, you know, hanging around and we were trying to figure out, okay, what do we do to make the C part, you know? So we figured out we're going to hang up, you know.
Well, you never said, what are you making?
I haven't gotten to it. Somebody has to, you know, we're going to make sheets blue, you know, so the kids can hold them up and then pull them apart. So that's the sea parting.
Cool, yeah.
The different things that they're building for this and that. We have the stone tablets. They're made out of styrofoam. Those were left over from a previous staging of the Ten Commandments, I'm sure.
Previous Lord of the Rings episode.
Burning Bush?
I was ding ding. I was meeting with them on Friday and we're there and I gotta go, like it's, you know, 2:30 becomes 3, becomes 4, people aren't showing up, and so they're like, so what about the burning bush? You know, how are we? I'm like, I'll just do it. I'll do it. And they're like, great. So I leave and it dawns on me.
You're like, what have I done?
This morning I gotta figure out how to make a fucking burning bush.
Yep.
And so what do you do? It can't actually, it's inside. It can't actually be, you're dealing with 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
You don't want it to actually be, you know, burning, engulfed in flame. What I came up with is
I was just thinking about the 15,000 pounds of wood.
What I came up with is...
Slow simmer on that one.
Sorry, Mom.
How do you think the bush... How do you think the bush got so hot?
So how do you make a bush look burning?
Well, that's what I came up with. I had this old fan.
You didn't Google that, did you?
No.
Okay, good.
I had this old fan.
That's what I was
house fan, right? This round desktop, 12-inch water fan. And I thought, if I could take that and take it apart and turn it on its side so it's pointing up, and in the grill of it take little pieces of strips of nylon...
Yes.
I bet that the fan would blow that up and
orange
make it
and
look,
red.
Yeah, make yeah. it look somewhat fiery.
Right.
So that's the plan that I'm working on. And then I have...
Dump a little baby powder and it'll look like smoke, too.
I took apart this fan, spliced the wires to another cord, and built an enclosure for it. And
so is the guard off of the fan?
No, it's going to be on.
Okay,
because that's what you got to tie the little strips of
okay,
I was nylon like, to. So it's going to be like a car dealership, Your arms are flailing up and.
Oh, you know what? I got a little Christmas tree. If you want to put that on there, that could be the bush. I got like a 3-foot tall Christmas tree. You just build it, stick it right on top of the fan, put the nylon strings on it. Call it a day.
Wow. Maybe. Maybe.
What, so what are you going to do with the bush? What are you building one?
I built it. I'm in the process. I'm not finished. But I built the little box for it, and I spliced together the wires and everything so the fan works. And I have a Variac. It's a variable AC, power.
Hence
I think
Variac.
It has a big knob on it
yeah.
where you can have it at 110 volts, or you can turn it down, turn it up more. And it's like what Eddie Van Halen used on his amplifier to give the brown sound. Yeah. He just detuned it a little bit. So anyway, I have that. So there's a knob. Someone will be able to be off stage and turn it by a knob up and down.
You know what I was going to say? Get one of your on off pedals for your amp. That on it, put it back there. I saw it just steps on the on button, it just turns on, steps on the off button.
Get tremolo.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
so will the nylon strips play behind the bush, or how are you going to?
It will be the bush.
Me,
I mean,
paint
that,
me a picture of this bush.
So it's a box.
Okay.
Right?
No, I'm not talking about that.
With a fan setting
actual...
in it. Facing up,
right?
Like when you go into a store where they sell fans and they have streamers.
Yes, yes,
so
right.
It's just going to be that.
But I'm saying the actual bush part.
There's not going to be a bush.
So it's just gonna
get
be...
over the fucking bush.
Well, it's just yeah, there's got to be
can
a bush.
You paint that on the
it's
side.
It's just
going to
be
box?
The flame.
Can
so
you,
maybe?
So you,
I guess.
So you just made fire.
Oh God!
You're doing the burning bush. You brought the most important part.
Yeah, it's not Moses.
It's not,
in the
it's not the burning. It's not Burning Man.
God. Now I got to make a bush out of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like, just go get a planter. Just go to Home Depot and buy like a cactus or something. Stick it in there and you can just put the fire up around the cactus.
Mm.
Or cactus, cactus.
Mm.
You need. That's what I was asking. So you put a Christmas tree or something on it and then the shit will go flying around the tree. You have to have a bush.
We're going to Michael's anyway to get the nylon. I'll figure out some sort of...
How about if you took the box and used that fake ivy, the fake... it's just plastic that you put on a wall.
Yeah.
Plastic. And just build that around the box. And so it's like a bush...
And all of a sudden, the two of you fucking turn into Martha Stewart.
Well, you're like, hey, guess what? I'm in charge of building a burning bush. I just built burning. Everybody's be like, where the hell's the bush? What's the deal with the fan going off on this day? There's no bush.
Fuck.
You gotta have a bush.
All right, I'll make a bush.
It's like Moses without
the
ark.
That is, I think the box... You could do that very easily. Just staple that plastic fake ivy around the box, and you're golden.
Yeah, it'd be like kind of a weird. How big is the box?
It's like 14 inches square.
It's a weird looking bush.
Shut
it's
up.
Like a topiary. Like a topiary, like an animal shaped.
The burning topiary. Like it's making. Mickey Mouse. What? He's burning.
They're Lutheran or something. I don't know. Wow. So, so that's my project. Here's a, another great weekend craft project, though. My kids. I go in. I'm working on stuff yesterday, right outside. I'm working on, you know, working on the pavilion. You know, I'm fixing some, you know, cracks and so forth in the pavilion, you know, caulking them and whatever. And I go in. The kids have been inside with Laura all day, and I go in there to start cleaning up. Because we're gonna go. We went out last night. Remind me to tell you where we go. I go inside, and they're in the other part of the house, you know, getting ready and so forth. I walk in the kitchen, and there are two cakes sitting on the counter. One looks like an apple cake, you know, it's big, you know, like a couple inches, you know, thick, just looks really like a nice, you know, apple or, you know, zucchini cake or something like that. And the other one's a little thinner. It looks, and it's a little darker. Looks like it's, probably some kind of pumpkin thing, you know, it just has that kind of color to it. And so I cut, there was already a wedge cut out, so obviously we're just, that's how we're eating it. So I cut out a wedge of that, and I take a big old bite of that. Come to find out, the kids were experimenting in the kitchen. I think there was,
you know what?
There was fucking sand in it or something.
There's gotta be a fucking, if you're gonna leave that out on the counter, you gotta have a sign or something.
Yes! Yes! I walk around there, I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, oh, you ate that? And she starts laughing her ass off. She goes, oh, yeah, the kids were just fucking around with the...
I had a friend.
You gotta be kidding me.
I had a friend one time he had to pick up... he had to pick up his... It was Thanksgiving Day, and he had to pick up his girlfriend at the airport, and his friends were having, like, a Thanksgiving. They did an early Thanksgiving, you know, just watch football and everything. So he's like, I'm just gonna stop over there. Eat some food and then go pick her up. Well, he goes over and they're like, "Yeah, go ahead. There's we made a cake. We made a turkey." Blah, blah, blah. He goes in, eats some turkey, and he's like, "This cake just looked amazing." So he's like, "I lop off like this giant piece of cake, and I'm just standing in the kitchen eating it." And then he's like, all of a sudden, one friend comes around the corner and goes, "Oh my God, did you eat a whole piece of that cake?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah. Why?" And he's like, "That was a pot cake." And we put like a giant amount of, you're like only supposed to take a bite. We've been nibbling at it all day, and you like, and we've only been like grabbing like handfuls of and eating him, and we have been baked all day. And he's just like, shut up. And he's like, yeah. So he's like, ah, that's all right. I've been high before, you know, no big deal. And it's like, I got to go to the airport to pick up his girlfriend. So he drives to the airport, right? This is true. I'm not going to say who it was, but he drives to the airport, and he gets in the airport. And as he's like walking, this is before 9/11, he's, you know, where you can just kind of like walk in and go to the gate. He's like, it just hits him in the airport. And all of a sudden, he doesn't even know where he's at. He says, I don't remember what happened, but I ended up in a phone booth, like outside of LAX, and calling the girlfriend that he was picking up and going like, help me. and they're like, well, where are you at? And he's like, in a phone booth. Yeah, can you imagine?
No, that's
being
hell.
That
is God. Hell. Come on, I have more sense than going to the airport.
Well, you know what? I tried an edible one time and didn't know how strong it was, and I was like, this is insane. It's a different. It's a bizarre, weird feeling.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it at all.
But anyway, what was in the cake?
Feces, I guess. It was just like, you know, going through the spice cabinet and dump it here. Let's put in a couple of cups of cardamom.
Oh, yeah. Let's put in some chipotle powder.
Cream of tartar. It was just.
I blame that squarely on Lara for leaving
it. What's alum? It was so fucking nasty. I swear to God, there was sand in it.
Did anybody see you eat it?
No, I went. I'm like,
what did you yell?
What kind of cake is that? She's like, her eyes got wide. She's like, you ate that? Scream laughed at me. So anyway, last night we were getting ready. We went to Cirque du Soleil.
Ooh,
Volta.
Ooh,
it was fucking awesome. Yeah. Have you ever been to Cirque du Soleil?
I have been.
That's my first time.
Yeah,
in my life, any of them. It was And like last week, we went to Circus Vargas.
Mm-hmm.
It was all right. Yeah. It was, there was some cool stuff.
Yeah, Owen was really cool. It's over. I think this is the last weekend
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was neat. It was a circus. And it was, you know.
But do they have animals?
But number one, Cirque du Soleil has you know, you can have yourself a glass of sparkling wine while you do it. It's a nicer, you know, experience.
Right.
And, oh, my God. The sound system, the story, the performers. There was this one woman who was getting slung around. The only way that she was being supported was from her hair. Like her hair tied up in a bun, a tight, like, knot bun. And I looked, there were no strings, there was no saddle going down, you know, around her waist or whatever. It was just her hair, and she was being lifted 75 feet up in the air and slung around the arena by her hair. I'm like, how does your scalp not just come off?
Do you think she has a special conditioning dispenser in her shower?
I don't know.
You wonder what her shower, her hair washing.
She told two friends, like. And they told two friends, and so on, and so on. But it was outrageous.
Or you see them climb the silks, you know, they're the hanging silks that they'll climb up.
Yes.
And that's remarkable.
Yeah.
So where was this?
It's Dodger Stadium. Out in the parking lot. Yeah.
Oh, it was in
the
big
tent.
No,
it's under the big top. Okay, yeah. Okay. But just phenomenal. Yeah. Really thoroughly enjoyed
it. How long was it? Is it still there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's going on for another week or so, I think. And then it goes to Costa Mesa. So you could still go hit it down to Costa Mesa.
And then there are several Vegas shows, right?
Yeah. There's Love. Going right. People were saying you got to go see Love, the Beatles show in Vegas, which sounds amazing. Now I'm in. Now I'm like, okay, I got to go. But before, I hadn't. I thought, it's circus.
Right.
Yeah, it's trapeze, that kind of stuff. Okay, great. No. But it was really, really phenomenal. I really enjoyed it. We have something that we need to take care of here. How late have we gone? I don't even know how much time we've spent here. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Time is
it's irrelevant.
It doesn't even matter here. But we have to play this Alex Morgan. Sam, you were gone. Alex, Sam's son, is a musician. Mm. And
Samson?
Samson. That's where Samsonite came from.
You mean Larry's son. This is Sam.
I'm sorry. Larry's son.
That's where Larry's son came from.
Sam, your son, is a musician. No. Alex Morgan is Larry's son, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, played music for years, went to school for it, and has moved out here now. And we were talking about low-energy Mike. And I believe it was mentioned he needs his own theme song. Right. Maybe you were the one that said that, Josh. I don't remember. Alex took the trouble to make us a theme song for Low Energy Mike.
Oh, fabulous.
And he sent this. This is, we played so, it last
yeah,
week.
He sent us, was it four or three?
It was three of them.
Okay, he sent us three, and we whittled it down to the two that we liked. They're so good. The initial thing was we were just going to do like a theme song, right? But they were so good, we're giving him an intro and then an outro, and they're two different ones. And so we listened to them, and we didn't, I wouldn't say criticize, but we added some ideas.
Yeah, we just gave a little, he asked for our feedback, and we gave it to him. Anyway, he says, draft two, throw me any notes, and I'll go ahead and master some high-quality files for you. Sorry for the quick cutoff on the file. But are you guys ready for
this?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So is it just the two?
I don't know. I haven't listened to this before. You're listening to it with me for the first time. Here we go.
This is the first time. Low
energy Mike. You see, it's anathema to Low Energy Mike's ethos. Are we ready for the rest?
So hold on. You're not playing. Okay, but that was the one that we chose as
the intro.
The intro.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if this is the outro. I'm guessing. But we'll see here.
That was low energy, Mike. Ironically hilarious.
Oh, heavens. Okay, so
I'm giddy. That is so good.
Should we put it through its paces then?
Yes.
Let's try to put it to work.
Wait, can we see?
Let's see if we've got a missive from Mike to play this morning on the program.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what I'm checking. Hold on.
Holding. We're holding.
God. It's just this app.
It's never going to work.
It's the app.
It's you. You're jinxed.
Hey, Appers.
Oh, hey.
This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon.
No, you got to stop.
Why?
Because we didn't do the intro.
I just did it a second ago.
Oh, so you can't get them, you can't book at them
not
that close?
Not now. There are one's in my mail and one's on the thing.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Christ. You just ruined it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I quit.
Hey, Appers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. What wild weather we've been having in this part of the country. Woke up Wednesday morning to about 3 inches of snow. By 10 a.m., there was over 10 inches. That's stacking it up pretty fast. Then it warms up and starts raining Wednesday evening. By morning, it's all melted off. It's still raining hard. Needless to say, we have flooding, as the ditches can't handle all that water. The Grand Ronde River is out of its banks. Closed the highway. This is all minor compared to the flooding in Pendleton and Milton Freewater. There's whole sections in each city are under mandatory evacuation.
Oh, wow. Sounds awful.
One part of Interstate 84 had a foot and a half of water running over.
Sounds like it's different.
Crazy.
Season.
Oh, yeah. The app mug is sheltering in place and marked as safe. Pretty soggy day for a ditch digging man.
Pretty soggy.
See you later.
Did he say pretty soggy day?
Yeah, pretty soggy day for a ditch digging man.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry, varying levels there.
We're just working out the kinks, people.
Well, no, I'll have to find a way to play that.
That's what I'm saying. You know what? Can you save them as separate MP3s?
You don't know.
I'm asking if you can. I know I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Have you tried rebooting?
Oh, heavens.
Do you think it's prime ditch digging season for him? This is what it sounds like.
I don't know. Well, not now. It's flooding up there.
Yeah, I know. Maybe you need more ditches.
Oh, yeah, you're
right. Taking some of that water.
Maybe it's a
it's prime ditch digging season.
Yeah, it's a good for a line of work to be in.
Exactly.
You might have
for all you traveling ditch diggers.
But it sounds like a horrible flooding condition.
I hope he's safe. I hope he's all right.
I hope he's all right, too. We have another one. Okay. Would you guys like to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my God, you guys are fucking characters. Must have done this one after the Costco wine there, Andy and Josh. Hey, the fucked up of play we just had, it was awesome. We didn't have to hear you smacking and chewing and chomping so loud like normal if you'd had good stereo. Anyway, I've had a little glass of wine myself. Anyway, Andy, it's called fucking fascia, not fascia. We're not talking goddamn freaking Hollywood walking down the boulevard bullshit. Wow. Fascia.
I didn't even realize
like a doofus.
My hey, mom had
Marcia,
you guys.
Marcia.
You're all awesome.
How'd my mom get this number?
Just awesome. All right, bye.
I feel like I need to listen to that one again.
He ended with a just awesome. There was a little bit more stick than carrot.
Yeah.
In that one, I'm going to say.
The fuck, Andy?
Fascia.
Your fascia's fascia.
More stick than carrot. That's right.
Good Lord.
Jeez. Everybody okay? We got verbally assaulted right there. I'm like looking to make sure everybody's all right. You all right? Okay, we're good. We survived.
Had a little glass of wine myself. Oh, man. Anything you wanted to cover, Josh?
Nah.
Good. So, God, good to see you again, Sam.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys.
Get to get you in the studio more often.
Yeah.
Yeah. When are you heading off to? By the way, you're heading off to do open?
Genesis Invitational
Genesis
first.
Where's that at?
That's
the
Riviera.
The picture that he posted, was it on Instagram?
He
posted a picture
on Facebook.
Was
that might have been Instagram.
Of 20 years ago, Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
You were looking at Tiger Woods from 20 years ago, and you see Sam standing right behind him, looking, you know, like a baby.
Yeah. Yep.
And really young. And then you squint, and you're like, is that fucking Clint Eastwood back there?
Is
this dirty, hairy one?
I didn't even see that.
What was that?
Remember, like he was the mayor of Carmel. And that's why he was at Pebble Beach. So, yeah.
That was hysterical. Yeah. He's like wearing a suit.
Yeah.
On a golf course.
The weirdest photo ever. Sam Barber, Clint Eastwood, and Tiger Woods.
Honest to God, it looked like the cover of Sgt. Pepper's, like different cutouts.
Yeah.
There's Tiger, there's Sam, and
there's Dirty Harry.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
So when do you have to leave for the...
That's this upcoming week, but it's at Riviera. So my next golf tournament is the Masters.
And that's in Augusta?
And that's in Augusta. Well, that's
when
in
is
April.
That? April. Oh, so you got like a little time.
Oh, you got combine to do.
Combine. And in March, we have owners meetings, which are in Florida, the NFL owners meetings. Then the Masters, then the draft, then the PGA Championship, which is at, in San Francisco. Then the U.S. Open, which is at Wingfoot in New York. And then... the Wimbledon, British Open, Olympics,
and then football season. See you next February.
Yeah.
How can people get a hold of you?
They can either email me at sam.farmer@latimes.com or at latimes.
Give me your number
on Twitter.
Give me give them the number so you can.
On my cell, or my cell. No.
Oh, I forgot to tell the number for the YAF line.
Yes.
By the way, 626-657-6428. If you have a question for any of us, or oh, a muck PM hat, how can people get a hold of you?
Have a glass of wine. Give us a call. We'd love it.
Have a large piece of edible cake.
And go then to a call phone booth with phone LAX booth. And call us. Well, I don't know how. What is my
Joshua J. Flieger.
Joshua J. Flieger at gmail.com. Andy, how can somebody get hold of you?
Send
if
them
they
a
want
big
to?
Picture of your cock.
No, don't.
For me, it's on Twitter at DJ, or no, wait. Andy underscore Chanley on Instagram, Andy Chanley, and on Facebook at DJ Andy Chanley. I hate you.
Look, he's clean. You can back me up, Sam. He was eyes closed, concentrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, what is it?
I didn't want you to see my eyes rolling back in my head as I was trying to remember it.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships and
never.
Into this podcast,
this one here,
we're your artificial friend.
That's a retarded ending.
Thank you.
No, that's what you would call that.
You
retarded.
That's a musical term?
Yeah.
Really?
Retarded, yeah. That's what everything retarded means.
When you slow it down.
Yeah.
So you retarded the ending.
Send your cards and letters to.
I'm just saying in a musical term. They say when you do that in music, you go, you're going to retard the ending. I'm just telling you. Yes.
Check, please.
It's a true thing.